Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Doolin Christian Living Today. This is Elliot Thostson, and we're joining me as always is Dawn, our co-host. And Dawn, how are we doing tonight?
Hi, Elliot. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Beautiful day out here in the Midwest. The sun is shining. Warm temperatures coming into play, and the colors are starting to turn. So we got a beautiful situation for a beautiful weekend, and we were just thankful to get out and enjoy some of it, see the beautiful colors, and enjoy some conversation.
Great day for a drive.
It certainly was. It certainly was. So we're also blessed to be with you again tonight. We're going to be sharing a scripture verse from Hebrews today as we get into back into a rhythm of our conversation and ready for the fall season. We hope that all is well for you out there. We'd love to hear from you. So please share with us your thoughts on this ministry, your thoughts on this show at dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd also love to hear what we can do to help make this ministry more impactful to your life as we go through our daily walk. You can also follow us, like us on Facebook, and follow us at Twitter at Facebook/Doolin Christian Living, completely spelled out. And at Twitter, it's at DCL Network. So join us and follow along with our conversations and with our show. We're now into this season where it's always a little bit rough on Dawn and I as we're coming out of the summer. When we come off that high, we get a chance to share the word and share some fellowship with old and new friends over at the campground. So it's now our second or third week into that, and we do miss it, don't we, Dawn?
We do. It's a beautiful opportunity that we have out there with the campers. I'm so glad that we've been able to incorporate that in our ministry.
Yeah, and we're already looking forward to planning for next year and preparing ourselves for what happens and what the Lord's going to bring for us. Very thankful for, again, the park that allows us to do that. Very thankful for those people that seek us out. And what's always amazing for us is that they just God's people tend to know how to gather and when to gather and where to gather. So
how
to find each other. So there was a lot of surprises this year as we went through that ministry, probably more unique in terms of its participation this year than in past years, in terms of different conversations we've had, the different numbers of people we had, different faces that we saw this year. So,
and the interesting part is that the folks within the community that have started to come out.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They've started joining us on a regular basis, and what a blessing that is. So we're going to move along. Dawn is asked that we do Wonderful Savior in keeping with our scripture verse tonight. So we're going to go ahead and play Dawn's version of Wonderful Savior. So we'll be coming back in a few moments, and we'll get into our conversation.
Oh, you rescue souls of men.
heard Dawn's lovely voice singing that wonderful song. It's time for us to get into our lesson for today. And today's lesson comes to us from the Apostle Paul, and it's his letter to the Hebrews. And we're going to be working through this text. It's a very short text in terms of its concepts, but very big in its perspective. I think we had some wonderful conversation on it Friday evening as we were open up in our prayer service over at Frontline. So, Dawn, you want to go ahead and share in this verse for us tonight?
Sure. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Yes, interesting verse. And you know, these things come to light mostly because of our recent work with the group over at Frontline, and has me looking differently at Scripture, and also other Scriptures starting to come forward to me as things that I should dive into. But this one in particular, I think, is important for everyone to take note. And where I'm going to go with this next part of the conversation, but there's so much else to get into, and don't jump in here at any time. But where I want to go with this is that the seed that's planted within you has the ability, and this is this two-edged sword kind of concept here. It has this ability to take hold and take root within you, to break all your barriers, to break through your frailties, to break through your sins, to break through your issues that you have in the world, your issues you may even have in your faith. And God's seed will plant that's planted inside you will grow. In addition to that, though, it also has this ability, this innate capacity to bring you down to your knees and humble yourself in front and acknowledge just your sin, give you that acknowledgement of yourself and of your sinful nature. So it takes away that sense of pride also. But the issue at play first part here is, to me, is the issue of God's power working within you.
It's really about knowing that there's nothing you can hide from God also. You read that last part, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. I don't think that's put in there to frighten you. It's just the reality of God is that not only does he enter your heart right to the tips of your feet, but that he also knows you, and well, there's no getting around that.
Right, and I think you're right with that. Also, I think, though, too, it's getting yourself to acknowledge that for yourself as well, right? This issue of God being able to understand which inside your heart, how hard is it for us to fully acknowledge what we really know about our own heart and how much we conceal that? God's word will break that down and show it to you. It'll lift it up and put it on a tray in front of you and say, no, this is what you're really thinking. This is really the lustful desires of your own heart. This is really your ego and your pride coming forward. So, you know, the issue is how the word of God illustrates that for you.
Yeah, you can choose to change, but you can't conceal.
Yeah, well, the issue here is I think it has the opportunity to not to where you try to conceal, it has the way of unveiling that in front of you, okay? And that's the piece of our walk in life that we are most afraid of, that which we know about ourselves down deep and in their spots where we don't want to care to go, or we don't want to care to show people. We don't want the real world to know who we really are. So, you know, God has a way of breaking that ice and saying, here you are, this is you, roots to the core, and you know, acknowledge this. Acknowledging it for yourself so that you can acknowledge it before God. And even though, as you said, Dawn, God does already know this. And this is the issue. It should help us in that sense to understand that there's nothing we can do to hide. Why do we even bother? Why do we attempt to go there? But certainly the issue, one of the main issues of this verse is just that, coming to an understanding of what's inside us, right? And God's word being able to pierce that and break that open and expose that to us.
Well, I know that God knows our inner self, and I know that we're all sinners, but we certainly shouldn't give up on ourselves. We should certainly continue to try to let Christ in and be as Christ-like as possible.
If you got from any of that from where anything I was saying, that's not where I was going with that at all. But the issue is we can't go anyplace until we acknowledge where we've been. Okay, that's the issue. If we move forward without acknowledging where we've been, we're apt to just keep it as part of our life as opposed to rid it as part of our life and acknowledge our struggle with that and ask God's favor, ask God's forgiveness, and ask for God's help to keep that from ever showing itself to us again, right? So the issue for me is not that we don't try, to your point, Dawn, is that we can't really move forward until we recognize exactly where we've been wrong and where we've worked in opposition to God's will, where we've stood in judgment of ourselves, as God has that ability to judge us as well. Not to condemn us, but to acknowledge where we are and where how far we've gone from the Lord, and so that we have now just the work in front of us to do and leaving the past behind, accepting that full forgiveness of the Lord. So that's where I'd like to go with that. And I did not want to imply the other, but I'm glad you're able to bring that forward, Don. The other thing that comes out very quickly here to us, and I want to make sure that we give some adequate conversation on this, is right at the beginning, is God's word is living and it's active, okay? This is, you know, people want to take the Bible and say, oh, that's, you know, 2,000 years ago that was written, and, you know, God doesn't speak to us today. No, God speaks to us today. His word is alive. His word in the scriptures is alive and will come alive to you. Spend time and dwelling in what the meanings are, listening to God's word around that, praying on that, discerning of what you hear in those prayers. That God's word is definitely not a static word, and it definitely is alive and ability to translate into the current world.
Do you have a sense of what this author was trying to get at when he said piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit?
Yeah, because to me, it's getting down to the roots of who you are. It's breaking you apart so that everything is exposed. It's separating the pride that you have, and you beef up yourself, and you have your own self-confidence and strength. So here it's piercing down and saying, no, it's gonna break down your spirit and separate the pride that you had and belief that was your spirit and give you a true picture of what God's spirit is. So to me, it is this dagger. It is this, you're right to the heart of the matter type of conversation, to where it's going to cut you to the bone. It's going to expose you and allow you to grow because of that exposure. It's going to allow the work and dwell now within you because it has taken its root to the deepest part of your body.
It's funny because the calling it a two-edged sword and talking about piercing sounds destructive also.
Well, it kind of is. It can be. But that's where we have to have confidence and stay true in our faith and looking for discernment and time and prayer and meditation to understand that it's not condemning, but it is an acknowledgement, right? To acknowledge and that fault that we have within us gives us the ability now to let God work through us and us take an active role in preventing that from going back into being part of our life, right? That's not who we are. It may have been who we were, but it's not who we are now in Christ. So as the word of Christ comes alive within you, you will see yourself differently. And I think that's really the crux of it here for me, is that as you become alive in Christ through the word, you will see your life differently than you ever did before. You know, we're talking about this relative to our ages. And as that we're just getting old and cynical about some of the things, you know, about what's going on around us, or are we becoming more in tune with what we should be doing? You know, we look at how we live a life 20 years ago, things that were important to us, to how other things are becoming important to us now, like this ministry, right? 20 years ago, that wasn't important. It wasn't even on our radar. Here is forefront in our life. Now, is that because we did anything, or is it because the word of God became alive and active in us, and it exposed us for what we need to do for Christ, what we need to do for the living God? So it's that kind of opportunity. It's returning itself and saying, this is not where you were or who you are. This is where you are, and this is who you should be. And it moves us in this other direction. We talk about social elements of the world, and I'm beginning to realize, and I always thought this to be somewhat true, and it probably is to some degree, is that as people got older, they got more social oriented, meaning that they took more effort to be volunteers for causes. And I said, well, that's because they're retired. They don't have to work, so they can go ahead and spend their time that way, right? Well, maybe, just maybe, something else has happened also, right? Just maybe that piercing word of God has exposed the vanity of a life needing to be giving back, needing to be a servant leader, needing to be participating and taking care of others as opposed to taking care of yourself, right? And it may be just coinciding with the change in life that now has you affording time to do that, but it's not just the physical element of age and retirement. It is the spirit working within you.
Some people do this in their 20s. So I think that, you know, it's not as simple as...
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking of a story that comes to my mind and the perspective that I had. And you know, I think it's really interesting that, you know, people are able to grow at earlier ages and understand this. And I encourage everybody at any age to work in the Word. But this is the power of the Word. This is how it does work within you. It does cultivate change by acknowledging for yourself who you are first, and then where you need to be and where you need to go.
You know, we talk about where you are in your journey, and I was thinking about us when we were in our 20s, and we had faith. We were practicing, but this is so different.
Yeah.
We're doing now is so much more connected, and I'm really feeling like I'm understanding everything that's been drilled into me all those years that maybe wasn't quite ever the veil's been lifted.
Right. Let me give you a couple of supporting scriptures because I think this helps frame it, and this is going to make this a little bit easier, I think, than some of this darker discussion that we were just having or I was just bringing about. We hear Paul write in Ephesians, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, right? To make her holy and cleansing her by washing her with water through the word. I think that's just powerful. And we talked about this other part of Ephesians also the other night, Don, and that's this helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And one thing we talked about Friday, and I want to go down that path as we have a few moments to do that, is we talked about there are two elements, two projected ways to look at this. One is an inward issue of change and how you address change within yourself and how that seed is planted and working. The other is this outward issue and this outward expression and putting on the breastplate and working yourself through that way. This verse can be taken both inwardly and externally.
Right. In Ephesians, it's definitely talking about protecting yourself and preparing yourself to be God in the world.
Yeah, so the word, this two-edged sword, right, is also a two-edged sword that we need to wield in the world. We need to be, and we talked briefly about this today in worship, and this issue of what we need to do in order to combat ideologies that are so hateful and ideologies that are so destructive. You know, we have to come forward in our faith and stand strong and project our faith into the world. We need to be able to do that and allow this two-edged sword, the word of God, to take its sword and combat evil that's all around us. And that happens by us bringing the word alive, by us demonstrating the word in our daily walk of life, by us proclaiming the word in everything that we say and everything that we do. And this is how we can combat the violence that's taking place. This is how we can combat the evil that's taking place. You cannot fight evil through laws and legislation. It will not work. Evil is always going to be in existence. The only way to combat evil is through love and through the forgiveness of Christ. And this is the shield of God. This is the helmet and the breastplate that we need to put on and work in the word and work in the world as well. So, you know, as we look at this, we want to have this internal perspective because we need to draw on that strength that this is going to give us. But once we have that strength, we need to be able to have that strength in the word, in the world, walking in the word and everything, every chance we get. And not shy away from that. To expect that governments are going to create the change, governments are going to bring peace, to expect that laws and legislation are going to stop gun violence, you know, you can argue both sides of that, and neither one of those arguments are going to be right. The only thing that's going to change evil from being evil is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the love that he provided us in this world. And that's what we have to demonstrate, and that's what we have to do. Don, as we have, anything else that's coming up to you in this?
I was just reading Acts. Now, when they hear this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent. I just think that the artistry of how some of these verses are put together, where they're just, it's so exact and so clean to understand God coming into you as a blade piercing your heart, right to the core of you. That's right. What's going on.
Right, right. And Luke, as he writes, and Luke is, you know, a little bit more eloquent in his writing. He's a little bit more scholarly in his approach to writing. In that axe, yeah. So that, and that's you'll see that particularly with Luke's writings. But you're absolutely right, Don. This illustration of now when they heard this, so the hearing of the word, right? Just the hearing of it, not yet understanding it, but the hearing of it is what they're illustrating here. Helped to pierce their heart. It took them to spaces and places they never would have thought of on their own, and they knew that they needed a response and needed a reaction. And they asked, you know, what shall we do? And then Peter gives them the response to repent and turn from your old ways, to look for God for forgiveness and change from your path of destruction to your path of love and forgiveness. And I think that's, you know, right here in the scripture. So this scripture has so much to offer us. And again, I encourage you to look at this with a way that has you reflecting on your life, but then also as you walk that life, and how it's projected outwardly and out to others. Yeah, because I think that's where we need to be able to draw ourselves. We need to participate in the world.
Be Christ in the world. You need to go out there and be Christ. Let the word flow through you.
And I want to finish off by just reading through Matthew Henry's commentary and what he had to say in this verse. So let me go through that, because I think it's summed up really well here. The Holy Scriptures are the word of God. When God sets it home by his Spirit, it convinces powerfully, converts powerfully, and comforts powerfully. It makes a soul that has been long proud to be humble, and a perverse spirit to be meek and obedient. Sinful habits that are that are become as it were natural into the soul, rooted deeply into it, are separated and cut off by this sword. So this goes back to this issue of being piercing and cut off, the soul versus the spirit, right? The separation of those things that drive you to do things you shouldn't do has now been pierced and cut off by the sword, by the word of God. And I just think this is an opportunity for everybody to wrestle a little bit with the scripture that can take you into so many different dimensions. It's a simple little verse, but it has so much meaning and so much opportunity for you to explore and discern and prayerfully give consideration to what this means for you. Very powerful message from Paul in two short verses. Dawn, do you have anything else you want to share?
I was just thinking that taking Christ into your heart means that you're going to be exposed for all of the sins and the sinner that you are, and it can be painful, but cleansing and so valuable and so important that you can assess that and do everything in your power to turn yourself around so that you will be worthy.
Yeah, you know, I have that imagery of falling to your knees, right? And what causes a person to fall to their knees and give their life up to God? It is the fact that the word has finally pierced their heart and pierced their soul and cut them down to understand to what you're saying, Dawn,
to
humble themselves before God and to seek his renewal and his forgiveness. And, you know, everyone, you know, there's a lot of people out there in that profess a faith that is easy and light and joyful and just everything is so wonderful, glorious. And yet at the same time, though, scripture will tell us that it can be painful and it may sometimes need to be painful, right? For us to get off of our own high horse, we need to be knocked down. And the word of God will build us up, but it may take us to a space that knocks us down before we can grow again, truer to God's word, grow again in a means of grace that is in keeping with his will versus the way and the path of what we think the world should look like,
right?
And how we should do it.
And if you want to understand that path, dig into the word.
And you will find it. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do it by continuing to listen to this ministry. I encourage you to do it by finding a prayer partner or a small group somewhere where you can have a safe ground and asking questions that are maybe basic, but questions that are meaningful to you, questions that are important to you. One of the things that you come to grips with, and we find this to be so true in what this ministry has done for us and what we think is doing for others is it's giving people a safe space to talk about difficult things. When I say difficult, they're difficult from the sense of they may be exposed to what they don't know about Scripture. They may be exposed to what they don't know about their own faith. They may be exposed to what they don't understand about the nature of God and the Holy Spirit's movement in the world. So,
but at least we're digging in and trying.
Well, that's the issue. So I encourage you to find a pathway to be able to do that for yourselves. Hopefully that's what you get from listening to this show. So I think we're about going to wrap it up for this evening, Dawn.
We are.
Good conversation tonight. We hope that you enjoy this conversation. We hope that you'll continue to support the ministry by passing along the link to our archive. We have surpassed the 9,000 download mark, so we thank you for doing that.
Woo-hoo!
And continue to help us move this ministry forward by sharing it with as many people that you feel can use some encouragement and maybe a new pathway to explore for them. And, you know, again, let us know what you think by dropping us a note at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. So with that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye now.
Woo!
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high.
To see you high.
We cry, holy.